It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined by one Mr. Patrick Corain from LegendaryUpside.com. If you are not subscribed to LegendaryUpside.com, go do it right now. Check it out. At least give him your email. I mean, come on, at the very least, give Mr. Corain your email. The last 2 years have been really tough on him, so he needs, he at least
There's good free content on there, too.
There is good free content. You can read about Jacquard tree simulations and all kinds of awesome shit on legendaryupside.com. Look, man, it's May 30th right now. I actually have drafted less teams probably right now at this stage than any other year the best ball summer has existed, because I'm trying to save some bullets for August for the big $1 million contest in a way that I've never consciously done before. What do you think about that?
I think that makes sense. I think saving bullets and trying to sprinkle them in throughout, to me, like, I've never really fully bought in on the barbell stuff, not because of like the theory of it, but just like I couldn't do it. Like I need the whole summer to draft. So my thing has been just like sprinkling in the drafts. Last year I used Pete because he was streaming all of his drafts, right? So I knew he like had a legit schedule that he needed to follow. So I was just like, if I drafted more or less than Pete, and if I've drafted a lot less, then I probably should draft a little more this week. And if I'm near him, then I'm probably okay. It is funny because I feel like Best Ball Mania might fill sooner than it did last year.
I think it's already 14% full.
Yeah, so that's now I'm probably going to use that as a little bit of a tracker because I don't want to have to like pile in at the end. And we know the history of the Best Ball Mania is a bigger tournament, so this won't happen as dramatically. But like when a tournament gets near full on underdog, it fills quick. Because people, you know, the last 10% fills the fastest.
The last 10% of best, that's a great prop bet. So once Best Ball Mania hits 90%, how long does it take to get to zero?
Like a day and a half.
Yeah.
probably not. But that's the usual thing of like once it hits 90%, everyone floods in and gets their entries, and it's like a run on the bank.
it's completely a bank run. So yeah. I mean, I did my 26. Controversial 26 instead of 25 on DraftKings. The way I read the thing on DraftKings was you need to do 26 because one of those tickets is free. That was just the way I read it. I mean, look, if you do 25 and you don't get your ticket, just email DK customer support and they'll give it to you. But I did 26. I've done, I think, 15 Best Ball Manias, which like is giving me a little bit of anxiety to realize I've got 97 days to do more. But I just like, when am I most likely to draft a dead team? And it's definitely right now when right we've now. Got no yeah. news. I'm kind of bored, so I'm just doing stuff. You know, like I did a Greyhound the other day, the single entry one. And I was like, come on, like I'm doing a Mahomes team in this. Like it's the $35 single entry on May 28th. Like I'm doing a Mahomes team. And I should, like, that's fine in that contest. It's fine to load up the Pomeranian and be like, I'm doing 50 Drake May teams and there's nothing you can do to stop me. But I should be really avoiding that stuff in Best Ball Mania and in the DK Millie.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think you want to mess around a little bit more. Whatever the lowest stake stuff you're doing, I think you want to give yourself permission to kind of mess around a little bit more. One, because like, this is supposed to be fun. And so like trying stuff out and
great point.
You know, like seeing if you can get away with something, pushing a quarterback. You know, a friend of mine texted me like one of his teams where he pushed Stroud. He had Tank and like Stroud felt him in the fifth and he pushed it another round and then got Stroud still. I mean, that's fun, you know? So like doing stuff where you're trying to see what you can get away with in some of the whatever the lowest stake stuff you're doing, I think is helpful. Like you can bring lessons to the stuff you care more about.
Well,
you know?
Well, you can do, if you're drafting in $5 puppies or whatever, you could be like, what do my teams look like when I take two elite tight ends? What right. just like, if I take Kelsey and Andrews, like what happens? What does the team look like? Do I like it? Do I hate it?
Yeah, I mean, like I do rankings, right? And you can't, the rankings are like, they're great. Oh, I nailed it. And then you drafted them and you're like, oh, like these are wrong. Like I need, they're wrong even from like what I think. Like when you can dial in rankings so much by actually drafting, you get a sense of what the teams are. You know, when you take this guy here, what types of teams? And even if you're not doing rankings, you're building teams. And so you get a sense of what these teams look like when you take when you take Sam LaPorta in the third, like if you take him at the 302, like what does that team look like? When I take him at the 402, I have trouble building good teams. So I don't think in 302 you're gonna love what's happening. But like that's you kind of learn through I learned through experience. So that's definitely like for me, like get in there, do some drafts, see what the teams look like, see how bully tight end kind of survives draft rooms, you know, see how elite quarterback sets up in this environment, which I actually think is pretty good. You can do some really fun stuff with elite quarterback. But you have to be careful, I think, to have enough wide receivers early. It's just, yeah, get in there and experiment right now with like what structures and builds you feel like you can actually pull off. That would be to me like the, 'cause like, okay, let's say you punt off all of your May teams, but if you
Right.
show up in July and you're like the best drafter in the room, that's still pretty awesome. You know, like if you're in August and you just like know the player pool, like the back of your hand, like that's still pretty great. Like the winning team was drafted last year, what, like right before the season. So, you know, yeah, maybe your May teams are less likely to be the one, but I still think it can provide you like really, really valuable reps, even if August ends up being the time of year to draft again.
Well, and the reps are pretty important because like I drafted a horrible team on the Swolecast yesterday where like I did a
I saw.
Mahomes. Well, I got a Mahomes round five and I'm like, well, great. They'll be one of the guys I need in round six, right? Nope, Worthy and Brown both go. Well, surely I'll be able to get Rashee Rice 5 picks before ADP. Nope, absolutely not.
You
Backdooring
took
in the
Kadarius
spot.
Tony, right? Who did you take in
Yeah,
your last two
the
picks?
spot you never want to be in, which is doing say the line Bart on the Swolecast with a team that, I only get 150 of these, and I did a say the line Bart. I took Kadarius Toney with with my 18th round pick, which is like mathematically, it I guarantee you it is 100% correct. You plug it into any sim, any fucking projection tool, and they're gonna be like, yeah, absolutely, you have to take a Chiefs wide receiver in round 18, and Toney's probably the
God,
one that's gonna play the
I think
most.
even the Sims would be like, come on, man.
Come on, man.
He was
Well,
inactive in the Super Bowl, like,
what do you I guess it's probably actually if you don't have Kelce, you're better off taking Gray or Whiteley is actually probably correct.
honestly, yeah, I think
Yeah.
so. Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. But the point being that I probably should have had enough reps in to know that I just have to take Rice at pick 70 there or whatever, where it's
You got to
like
reach for Rice there.
Because the consequences of having an unstacked Mahomes, it's just dead. Like, I mean, that team is just not winning. You're not gonna win. You're not gonna win $1.5 million with unstacked Mahomes.
And Rice is the perfect guy to reach for in that situation because, like, he could be suspended less than we think. And then, you know, all of a sudden he's a value. And then the fact that he was suspended for less than we think is one reason that Mahomes might be a value. So, like, obviously, any pass catcher is correlated with Mahomes, but the Rice thing is especially volatile. So, yeah, I think in that situation, the move is definitely to reach for Rice.
So which it just goes I think Beinfor said this. I'm almost certain, but maybe I'm misattributing it, but there's this great line when thinking about best ball that we are drafting teams, not exposures, right?
Yeah.
So
I think
which
I
is
said that actually.
and maybe I think maybe it was you. Maybe it was you. It's definitely someone smarter than me said it. But that kind of has been my guiding light right now, which is like I definitely am getting much more overweight on players this year than in years past. Looking at 92 teams, I've got my whole first page is guys who are 20% or more, but it's not done out of an exposure. It's not done so I can have the cool screenshot. It's because I want Jermaine Burton.
Are you sure? Are you sure
I
it's
mean, it's
not?
definitely partially that. It's partially that, but I really just want to have Jermaine Burton on, like, I want to make sure I've got Jermaine Burton on a Mahomes team. I want to make sure I've got Jermaine Burton on like three Drake May teams. I want to make sure that I've got Noah Fant with with Bears teams and with Chiefs teams and with Saints teams, like whatever, like it's more about making sure you've got, this is the sacrilegious article more or less.
Yes. Yeah. Sacrilegious wrote an article about Jacquard similarity where basically like you want your portfolio to be diversified from itself. So you're not just constantly building the same team over and over. Cause you're actually like robbing yourself of EV when you do that. Like the way these, especially right, if you're talking about within the same contest, like if you theoretically were to show up and finish first and second, like, I guess this is sort of one way to think about it. Like, imagine I'm going to say like, you've got, you know, you're in your lifetime, you're going to get two shots where you're going to be, no one will score higher than you in Best Ball Mania. You've got two of them. The worst thing you could possibly do would be to put them in the same year, right? Because otherwise it's two first place finishes.
Sure.
Worst thing you could do would be finish first and second and utilize it that way, right?
That would be the worst. Yeah.
It would be absolutely horrendous. Like you've robbed literally millions of dollars from yourself if you were, you know, doing it that way. And if you're just kind of building the same versions of the same team, that's kind of what you're gunning for. You're gunning for like that one time when you hit it, you're going to like maybe hit it a couple times, which isn't really how these tournaments are structured. What you want is to be building awesome teams that are different enough from each other that you're sort of attacking from multiple angles. And you have maybe some overlap of like your key stands. And this is, and then I wrote a kind of follow-up article to Sacrilegious's article using this metaphor of this tree that they found in Central America that is like the rarest. It's like this crazy story. It's a true story where this tree became like the rarest tonewood on earth. It's just this like this log that was stuck in a ravine for a decade in Central America. And my point there is like, if you've got Jermaine Burton and you think he's like the one, like he's the guy you need, then he should be mixed in with like a bunch of different other teams. Yeah. The worst thing you could do is like, it's the bet this year is Jermaine Burton plus Burrow plus Chase, never T. Higgins, plus only Marvin Mims.
Never T. Higgins, I think, should just be the title of this, the working title of this podcast. I'm so over being victimized by T. Higgins. I won't. And I know big fantasy football is going to try and sell T. Higgins to me again this year, and I'm just really not having it. I'm fed up with it.
He's so much cheaper. He was like a second round pick last year. You can't mix him in at all.
I mean, of course, like I'm still enough of a coward that I'm not like stone fading a guy who can like score 32 underdog points in a game, but I like never go into a draft being like, I gotta take him. Part of the reason actually why I don't take him is because I so often take Jefferson in the first round, so I don't have Bengals start in my app. I've got star method. I've got no Bengals start.
Yeah, your Jefferson take is interesting because that is sort of one way to get like naturally diversified. That you're taking, now it requires taking a huge stand, but you can see like through that example, right? Like you're taking Justin Jefferson from a variety of spots in the front half of the board, and you're taking like, this is going to be your year is going to partly come down, maybe largely come down to how Justin Jefferson does. But like, at least it won't then come down to how Justin Jefferson and like Debo Samuel and, you know, like kind of tackle
well,
on the parlay
okay.
card.
So this is actually why I wanted to, part of the inspiration for why I wanted to do this was I realized at a certain point, I probably had, I drafted 92 teams on underdog in post-draft contests, and at least 15 of them are Jefferson, Debo, Waddle, like exactly, which is like, that's the nut start. If you made me pick three guys to start with, I'm not changing that at all. I just am going to do those three guys, but it definitely reaches a point of diminishing returns and reaches a point of like being overconfident relative to what is likely to happen. So I am just forcing a little bit more diversity there, whether it be, I really have to take Debo every time there. So now it's like taking Kyren or someone else with, or DJ Moore or whatever with that third round pick instead of just taking Waddle literally every time.
Yeah. I think getting some diversification with the Jefferson, like if you're going to take Jefferson from like, you know, the 3, 4, 5, 6. I do think the advantage there is that, like, the problem is that Debo's almost always there. Like, he tends to go in the late second.
Problem is a frame of mind. I mean, the terrifying thing about being all in on Debo is that there's such an obvious chance that I'm so right and that he totally is breaking fantasy football in 6 games a year, but that he hurts his shoulder in week 14 and it literally, like, all goes to zero. And it's like, that's the timeline. That is the simulation I do not want to be living in at all.
No. What is it? So I know Debo's got the single week ceiling and everything, and he's got the contingent value in a sense of if McCaffrey were to miss time. So I get the appeal, but like, they also drafted Pearsall. You know, it's like, oh, it's always
Pearsall crowded. Pearsall is total copium. Ricky Pearsall is just like not going to play this year.
I don't know if I'm comfortable making that bet. They just took round pick.
They just gave Juwan Jennings, $10.5 million guaranteed. Like, they extended him. They didn't even have to.
So to be clear, part of your bull case for Samuel is that in addition to drafting a first round wide receiver, they also extended Juwan Jennings.
I think the Jennings thing is totally like a Super Bowl win now thing, and Pearsall. Right. I mean, yeah. Schefter said this. I think the
Jennings thing is because I think it pushes money. I think it opens up cap so they can. I think it's to help them sign Ayuk is why they did it.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, and that's totally possible. I also didn't really like Ricky Pearsall as a prospect, so. That's like,
I mean, he certainly had some red flags.
He's also just like a Debo ass IU gas prospect. Like he's their mold of guy. You can see right. So obviously totally. What no, they totally. Want from him.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
But this he's is where it comes catch. Down to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that I like prefer Debo to Nico by like a lot for one game sample stuff, structural stuff. If you want to stack Nico, you've got to take CJ Stroud in the fifth round, which I don't really love. So like compared to Brock Purdy in the ninth round, I mean those.
Yeah, although I think you can do some really fun stuff with if you have the Nico set up, you can do some really fun stuff because if you go three wide receiver, like let's say you do Jefferson, Nico, and Waddle,
sure.
Then when it comes back around, you're sometimes looking at Andrews, Lamar, and Stroud all there, and you can take Andrews and then potentially get the Lamar. Andrews there with Nico coming back, which is awesome. Or you can get Stroud with the Andrews bring back, which is also pretty sweet. And you know, if you're uneasy about fifth round Stroud, having the Mark Andrews bring back definitely makes it feel better.
The way the Nico teams nut out is that you get Lamar Andrews 4 or 5. That you get them both like a couple picks out. And that I mean, yeah, that's good.
That's good. That's like that. A real thing. Like, yeah. The other thing you can do is if you have this stings more if it doesn't happen, but you can take Andrews or you can take Lamar first and then, you know, pray Andrews comes back.
You can always backdoor everyone's favorite Rashad Bateman right now.
I know he's rocketing up boards.
Let me tell you, I'm not falling for it.
I am falling for it. I just decided this morning to fall for it. I wasn't falling for it. And this morning I was like, oh, I think I'm going to fall for it.
You like him better than Devontae Walker?
I mean, I think, I think he's more likely to be the other starting wide receiver.
Week one, he's definitely starting. I promise you, your guaranteed touches. He's running 23 routes week one.
Yeah.
That's a guarantee.
I mean, the other thing is we're talking about in two wide receiver sets, maybe he does lose the job to Devontae Walker by the end of the year. But in three wide receiver sets, is either, you know, if Walker's good enough to pass Bateman, then he's passed Aguilar, obviously. Is Bateman getting passed by Aguilar at any point? That seems less maybe. Likely. It's possible.
Definitely possible.
But they brought him back and they're, you know, he's getting a lot of buzz. So I'm willing to buy into it in the sense that like he seems pretty locked in to three wide receiver sets for the whole year and probably. And he's looking pretty locked in for two wide receiver sets to start the year. And we get down to like the 170s and like, I get why he's moving up. Like there's not that many guys with like jobs on good offenses that we like, don't think are truly terrible. And Bateman, I guess you could make the case is terrible, but I think there's still like, you can leave the light on for, no, he's okay, actually. He's like Zay Jones 2 years ago kind of thing. Like, I think that's
pretty plausible. I almost want to just like not even say his name, but what about round 20 Traylon?
There, I'm a little bit more nervous about what the path is because they signed Tyler Boyd. They kind of talk about, it was like, oh, so like, will Traylon be like your slot? And they're like, oh, I don't know. And then they signed Tyler Boyd. So they do know. The answer is no. I did
take a round 20 Traylon today on a Jaguars team. It was either round 20 Traylon or round 20 Keelan Robinson. And I figured their week 17 zero would be the same in either lineup.
There's sort of these things like from playing Dynasty where you see like a wide receiver kind of get into a hole. And it's like, this is probably a multi-year hole. Like, even if you get out of it, it's probably like you're re-emerging on like another team, you know, a couple years from now. And I think that's where Burks probably is. Like, even if Burks ends up kind of having a nice second act to his career, it's hard to imagine it being this year at this point with them bringing in Ridley, bringing in Boyd. It's a Will Levis offense. Like, you know, this is not supporting ancillary pieces very often.
You know, you want to know a good comp for him? Nelson Agholor.
Yeah.
The 2020 Raiders season, 48 receptions, 900 yards, 8 touchdowns.
That's what I mean. Like, he could go somewhere else and it'd be like, oh, it actually, if you just like play this guy with like in a non-horrible situation and he stays healthy, he can be like a totally functional receiver. I don't think, obviously, like at this point, I'm not saying he's a star and we just haven't, you know, we're sleeping on him. He's actually a superstar.
Like, he's definitely not a star.
He's not a star. He's not a star.
We can conclusively say that.
Yes. But is he like not an NFL receiver? I think the jury's still out on that. I don't think that we're going to get any evidence this year that really moves us, you know, makes us feel better about him though. You know, maybe a couple like, you know, flashy plays or something, but they're just not like, this regime does not look particularly interested in getting him on the field. So.
But they are interested in throwing the ball around the yard. I've heard. They're talking a lot about it.
They are. No, I like Hopkins a lot. I really, really struggle with Ridley. He hasn't been good since what, 2020? Was the last time he was good? And we're taking him in the sixth round? That seems like a little rich to me.
So, okay, back to the portfolio thing. Classic Rashad Bateman, Traylon Burks aside. Remember when Rashad Bateman and Traylon Burks were the real end of a tier last year? Like, oh,
yeah.
God, after wide receiver 48, it really falls off a cliff. God
you know how sometimes, like, when you read something, you know, like, you read, like, the small print, like, the terms of service, you're like, or, you know, it's like through or until, like, which one is it? And it's like, oh, the tier was before them. Oh, I thought it went through them.
And, you know, you want to know who it so obviously is this year? It's so obviously JSN at wide receiver 43. You're like, yeah. Oh, totally. It's like, no, after Brian Thomas goes, you're entering the wasteland.
The tier already broke, buddy.
The tier did break. So, I mean, this portfolio conversation we're having is really just part of the larger conversation that everyone is having about fantasy football right now, which is there is really no second round. Like, just like the second round might as well be the fourth round. Like, truly, truly, what is the difference in projection between Devontae Adams and Cooper Kupp right now? Like, I don't know. Go pull up Leone's shit.
That's a great one.
Yeah, it's like they're gonna be so similar and they're 20 picks apart.
Yeah, there's no second round. And I think hasn't Jacob written about this, or it's like the second, like, or was it Ben? Someone wrote about like the kind of like the way fantasy football lines up, especially with an efficient first round, like there shouldn't be a second round because like you kind of run out of the really good profiles and then it's like a bunch of like okay profiles, and then it just feels bad to take like the first okay profiles,
right?
You know, even though the tier like lasts a couple rounds. But yeah,
it is crazy though. To me, it's like Garrett Wilson and Jahmyr Gibbs go, and then it's just like, who fucking knows, brother? Who knows?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, Drake London's there. Like, you kind of have to take Drake London, but this is where I almost feel like ADP is not efficient. You know, like, I don't know, maybe it is, but I just think like
count me out on the idea that you have to take Drake London. Like,
well, if you want any, you have to.
Sure. Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm not opposed to it, but it's like, yeah, the guy who maxed out at 900 yards and 4 touchdowns is like, sure. Yeah.
Whatever. Well, this is what I'm saying. Like, this doesn't even feel the wisdoms of the crowds to me. Like, we're just like all trapped in a thing we created.
And it's so interesting. This, we will see crazy ADP movement, I believe, this August, because the second round is so uncertain. Like, we're just going to see, like, there's just going to be like, oh, Brandon Ayuk's really the flavor of the week right now. Like, Brandon Ayuk is killing camp. Brandon Ayuk signed a contract extension, whatever. The Falcons are giving lip service to Michael Penix starting in week one, or Kirk Cousins' Achilles is really bothering him and he might not be ready, or just like whatever it might be. But generally speaking, round 2, 3, 4 ADPs, they're going to be pretty flat. You're going to see much more ADP movement, you know, pick 50 through pick 150, because those guys are naturally more volatile, and that's not true this year.
Yeah, and I think like, okay, let's just take ourselves into a universe where Clint Kubiak, when he got hired by the Saints, gave this press conference, and he was just like, it's running through Olave. Olave's the guy. And it's like, sure. Oh, Thomas is gone. It's the whole offense. Don't you know? Didn't you hear the quote where he said it's running through Olave? The whole offense is going to run through Olave. Olave just always goes pick 13. Like, he just 100% of the time.
Yes.
Basically, maybe sometimes you get him 14. And Drake London, you know, we're taking it like, I don't know, 16, 17, kind of where Olave goes. That to me would feel like just as fine. I wouldn't have any like that in that universe. I'd be like, yeah, great. I get Olave if I'm at the turn.
Yep.
Really, I never get him at 17. I get Drake London at 17 pretty regularly. Feels fine. Sometimes I mix in Ayuk. Like, that would be, it just, I guess it's like, it's not even efficient. It's not even about whether it's efficient. It's just like the market's deciding something. And then you have to decide, am I going to be underweight this guy at this really locked in price? And to me, the answer is no. I don't want to be underweight Drake London, so I just take him. And then it's a self-reinforcing thing, like, because I just, you know, everyone's sort of like, yeah, I guess this is where you take Drake London, so I will.
Yeah, that's so true. It's just like, well, if everyone just kind of universally says it's fine because you want to have your 8% Drake London, yeah, you just take him.
Right. But it's funny because like that we're kind of entering a world where like we're all sort of sacrificing the wisdom of the crowd, because there's no wisdom. There's no wisdom. We're all deferring. Like, I guess you guys have thought about this, so I'll just follow the suit. You know, follow, you know, like, there's, what's the wisdom is just, I want Drake London and this is where you have to take him. So it's not actually like efficiently pricing him necessarily. I don't know. I don't know what to do about it, but.
Well, that's kind of an inflection. I mean, I think a lot of the second round guys are inflection points, because there's definitely a potential, huge potential edge in getting those picks right. And I think there's less potential danger in, you know, taking an L in the second round. Like guys who I think could really kill me in the second round, if I'm like stone fading them, the danger much lower than in years past, I think, is just kind of the way I feel about it.
You're saying kill you by actually like going nuts?
Yeah, I guess Jonathan Taylor could score 20 touchdowns. You know, Brandon Ayuk could just completely sun run on deep passes. Like, he could just catch every deep target. You know, Olave, Barkley, London, Harrison. I mean, they're all going to be, like, I'm not saying I'm fading. Well, Barkley, I am fading.
I'm fading Barkley, yeah.
Yeah, but the rest of them, it's like, yeah, I'm taking them. But if it's like, oh, I don't advance my Marvin Harrison teams at, you know, whatever, because he stunk, it's like, I'm not really that surprised, and I'm not that worried that a unique Marvin Harrison is going to kill me in week 17 either.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the second round, kind of the third round, there's like a lot of profiles where you're just kind of trying to, like, you know, if you're building a roster, like, they're just like building blocks, you know, you're kind of like plugging it in, like, this, okay, this is still on track to make noise and get to the final. Like, you're basically just like not losing, you know, you're not blowing up the roster with those picks is how it kind of feels right now. I do think there's some, I mean, like, Achan is a guy I'm taking a lot of, and
oh yeah, I mean,
doesn't, look, feel like that he feels like a big swing.
Oh, well, yeah, sure. He could, but he could, I mean, he could kill you either way.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, he could definitely kill you. That's part of it. But I think, you know, you are, so there are some guys there where you're like, it's not all just kind of safe, you know, okay, this is good, wide, good, talented young wide receiver. Let me throw him in and I'll kind of.
I mean, shout out to Kyren Williams having an undisclosed foot injury, because there was potential there for Kyren Williams to end my season pretty early when you had to take him ahead of Achan. But now that you can get him in the third round, it'll be fine. Like it's all gonna work out for me. Yeah, but it could have
been taking
bad.
Him some in the third. Yeah.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Why would I not? What am I gonna take Josh Jacobs ahead of Kyren Williams? Absolutely no interest.
I got Josh Jacobs in the fifth the other day.
Did you
People are not
it?
Enjoying
did
these.
Did you even feel good about it? Like victory click?
I took Josh Jacobs, Joe Mixon in the fifth and sixth. I was like, I think I just went hyper fragile.
I think I'm more into Joe Mixon than I am into Josh Jacobs, honestly.
Joe Mixon feels weirdly priced to me. Like I'm not used to having this profile. This is a terrible third round pick, right? Joe Mixon is a terrible third round pick. But this guy almost always goes in the third round, and it makes me mad.
It's what we've been asking the market to do for 10 years, which is the guaranteed touch guy who stinks should be a fifth round pick. And the market's going like, we agree.
Well, how about sixth? Agree. Would you take sixth? Like, I would actually. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah. I think in the sixth, he makes a lot of sense. Like it's post wide receiver tier break. It's like, you're literally like this. I mean, think about how crazy this is, Davis. The choice right now is literally like Joe Mixon, who got traded to the Texans, immediately got re-signed for no reason. They extended him. Like, just in case it wasn't clear, we definitely really want Joe Mixon to be our guy. On the Texans, where we're taking the quarterback in the fifth round, we're taking three receivers in the top four rounds. Their running back is going in the sixth round, and the choice is their running back or Ladd McConkey. That's what you're deciding between.
Or the guy who looks like Toad with the mushroom helmet on. To be honest, I'm trying to not pay any attention to the training camp clips after what Calvin Ridley did to me last year. But Ladd looking like a coach's child who got to like spend the day running routes with the wide receivers is really not helping. It's real because I even wanted to take him. I was a Ladd bull after the landing spot. But my God, is he small. It's crazy.
Do you think they were letting the ball boys run routes?
And what's crazy is he's bigger than Xavier Worthy, but Xavier Worthy didn't look that small. Like, for some reason, Xavier Worthy doesn't look that small with the pads on.
Those are your Chiefs glasses, man. You take those Chiefs glasses off, he looks like a rail.
He looks like a rail. Yeah, I mean, look, if Emmanuel Forbes is going to be out there playing NFL court, you see that picture of Emmanuel Forbes?
No, I didn't.
He legitimately looks like a 13-year-old getting an autograph signed. Like he's holding up a t-shirt with an autograph on it next to a child.
Oh my God.
And he's the adult. And
he
the
looks
child,
like he's giving a he's getting
he's
an autograph.
Getting
from a child.
The autograph. It's really bad.
Oh, that's
and that
not
guy
good.
Is
that's
that
good.
Guy actually weighs less than Xavier Worthy. Okay. Like zooming out a little bit. How much are you going to be sweating ADP fallers versus risers this year? Because that's kind of the eternal question. I think a great example would be, you know, we're 14% into Best Ball Mania right now. When and if Rashi Rice's suspension stuff becomes official, there's going to be a huge move one way or the other. Maybe not as big because they took a first round wide receiver, but again, remember in the big board, Rashi Rice open as a second round pick. So the market is going to be pretty in.
Yeah. No, I think that again and again and again, I keep being taught by the market that they are not pricing in very much. Like the market is not, now maybe good drafters are thoughtfully thinking about the ranges of outcomes with unknown variables. But I think largely like the ADPs do not reflect binary outcomes. So once Rice is suspended for a certain amount of games, the market almost will throw out what it was doing before and reprice him. And so I think you just want to be aware of that dynamic where, you know, if he's suspended for like a couple games or like even like three games, let's say he's suspended for three games, I think his price will rise a lot. Like a lot.
Well, how much will I be drafting? Because I'm going to impact that. I mean, look, if he's suspended three games, you might as well treat that like zero. That's before bye weeks. That's before injuries. Like, it, I just think you should treat it as immaterial.
Yeah. And I also would say with Rice, I think the market is, I think we kind of all maybe, but the charges getting dropped on the, or the guy pulling the charges or whatever the right terminology is from the assault incident, kind of broke the spell a little bit, but like, you know, this from,
he's still we're doing streams 47.
Yeah. But there was like the, he's never playing again kind of vibe out there. Like people just like really going overboard. And I think we've kind of come out of that, like total fear kind of driven bottom on his price. And so it feels like he's kind of back up on the rise where like, you know, people who want to be in and want to take a crack at the upside, I think are starting to feel more confident in actually taking him. So he's starting to rise a little bit, I think. And, but still, I mean, if he's suspended for even four games, you know, I think he'll rise a lot. It feels like he has to be suspended for 8-10 games for his price to actually drop from here. Right. He seems like a pretty clear target to me at this point.
Yeah. And I mean, I think just in general, that is a very good point that the market is not pricing shit in. Like, it's they think it's vibes. Yeah. The market is not pricing in what happens if one of Ayuk or Samuel gets traded. I don't think they will, but it's not being priced in. The market, one thing I definitely know the market is not pricing in. What if 32-year-old Raheem Mostert gets injured in the preseason? What are we doing then? I mean, how high can A-Chain go? How high can Jalen Wright go?
Jalen Wright could go pretty high. I mean, he'd probably go in the 8th.
Well, here's another thing the market is not pricing in, that Marshawn Lloyd is going to lead the Packers backfield in receptions. They're not pricing that in.
Well, they actually are, because I'm sitting here at pick 50. And I'm looking at Josh Jacobs again in the 5th.
They are pricing it in that way. I think something that is important for me to remember as a drafter is that in the aggregate, ADP will be very good, very predictive. You can't beat it in the aggregate. But in the micro examples, you are so much smarter than ADP. You are going to be so much smarter than each specific, like, you are going to have a better ability to predict, will Christian Kirk finish better or worse than wide receiver 30? And it's hard. I'm making a conscious effort to be more of a player takes style drafter this year, because you just, I don't know. It was, I mean, one, it was just so embarrassing to be a sophisticated auto drafter last year, but I'm also thinking of it more in a DFS style sense of just like, what teams do I want to have live in week 17? What combos do I want to have?
No, I think that's the whole game. You flip over because you don't know. Like, to me, like, it's all qualifying entries. Like, we're entering a qualifier to get to another qualifier, to get to another qualifier, to get to the tournament. The tournament is in week 17. So you basically, it's like gifts from yourself. That you open up and you see, what did I buy myself this week? 17.
Oh God, I hope I bought myself 3 Drake May, Javon Baker teams. That's really what I'm hoping I bought myself.
And I'm hoping I bought myself, you know, like a Devin Achane sounds great. You flip over the week 17 cards and you've got a Devin Achane there and he's healthy. Like, I'm pretty excited. I'm pretty excited about that. You know, so that's kind of one way I'm thinking about who I'm actually going to take stands on and stuff. And you know, with that kind of transitions us a little to the faller stuff. Like, there's certain guys I don't care if they fall. Like, I don't care if I think the upside case is really strong, particularly like, you know, late season, single week, kind of like guys who help you win this tournament. You know, this was the my Breece Hall thing last year. Like, I had Daniel Rez telling me, like, look, man, you're taking Breece Hall at like the 303. There's like a really good chance you're going to get him like the 4th in this same spot, like maybe cool off. And I'm like, no, no, I won't. I will not cool off. Eventually I will.
Correct.
He will, this ADP will sort of force my hand to where I'm like, no, I actually will get him in the fourth. So then I won't take him and I'll, but I'm not going to feel bad about my teams where I took him in the third, because in a sense, it's natural diversification because I'm taking a ton of Breece Hall. So I've got him paired with the fourth round receiver and I have him paired with the third round receiver.
That is such a good point. I mean, that really is like the highlight here, which is like you're going to want both of those potential combinations.
Right. And it's now you have to be right that the guy was worth taking a huge stand on. Because if, right. I mean, but you know, if you're wrong about that, then like, don't do that. You know, like you should be that confident that you're kind of onto something that's a big edge, that you're like, you're willing to not have him at the best price so that he's paired with different players. Like if you're going to take a 30% stand, you should probably be that confident, or don't. And that's fine. Like, you don't need to take 30% stands. Those are extreme stands. I'll probably have like a couple of those this year.
Well, I hope so. I hope so.
Yeah. But I don't, I think like if you have like 5 30% stands, like,
God, you really,
I don't know. That might be a little, not right now, right? Right now it's easy to take because we're early. Like, in the sample's small. And
do you want to guess the 6 players I've got over 30% on Underdog right now?
Debo's
Waddle. One of
them. Jefferson.
Waddle actually is not one of them. Okay. Waddle, I've got a 23. I think because I sometimes you can get Debo in the third, so I think I've done a lot of Adams than Debo.
Are you at 30 on Jefferson, or that might actually be hard to get?
I've got 26%. It's very hard to get.
Yeah, that's impressive. Worthy.
36%.
Rashi Rice.
No, actually, oh, which is surprising. Yeah, I'm realizing I need to do some introspection. Only 20% of Rashi.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
God, he is on the first page, but it's Chase Brown, Jaylen Warren, Dontavian Wick, Xavier Worthy, Debo Samuel, and Noah Fant. I got
fully, nice.
I got fully Fant pilled on ADP chasing. You guys really sold me.
So we're putting together an all tout team, right? Noah Fant's at tight end. Dontavian Wicks is at wide receiver.
Wicks, I've never in my life seen a player whose tout to production stat line, it's like it's almost like you could even convince me Dontavian Wicks doesn't even exist, and he actually he's just a figment of our collection of, like, he's Tyler Durden. I mean, truly, like LaFleur comped him to Devontae Adams once, and everyone who does fantasy football for a living is like, if I don't mention Dontavian Wicks once per podcast, I'm going to cease to exist. I mean, he's a good player, and I like him, but he's going to start going ahead of Tyler Lockett, like, soon. Like, soon. Very soon.
Yeah. It's going to happen. It's wild. Yeah, Dontavian Wicks is, he is leading the way. He's the wide receiver one on the all-tout team, for sure.
Running back all tout team, that's a good, it's probably Jaylen Warren.
It's
Jaylen
Warren. Warren, I think it's, yeah. Warren, yeah. I mean, certainly I would say Warren. I don't know, I think not much pushback on the Warren stuff, so he's probably on there. Yeah. Is there an all tout quarterback?
May,
you're right. Yeah, strict May.
Well, or truly, the only person who would ever select this player is a tout, which is Justin Fields. I mean, your casual best ball recreational guy who's just logging on, doing a 2 best ball manias a week or something, they have 0% Justin Fields. None.
Yeah. No, I think, yeah, Fields is a good one. I think it probably is May, though, because people are like, they're just completely out.
You want to talk about guys who are not going to be starting week 1, Justin Fields, handshake, Drake May. I love that it's a whole new organization, whole new coaching staff, and they're still doing the hardo thing of making Drake May be the third string quarterback in OTAs. Like, perfect.
Apparently, there was, like, I read this Athletic article where Bailey Zappi, because, like, I'd forgotten that he was, like, kind of the starter at the end of last season, and it's like he went from the starter to, like, third in the quarterback room, although I guess he's, like, currently QB2 in practice. Yeah. But they were like, there's all these quotes of like how it was like really awkward. Like, Brissett called it the elephant in the room, that this guy just got like double demoted. Like, wouldn't
that May got double the money?
No, that Zappy did. Well, like, wouldn't, I mean, who take that in stride, Zappy?
Yeah,
like,
who cares? On. Yeah, come on. Like, you have one 6,000 yard season for the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, and you think you demand a starting job in the NFL?
Yeah, like I was kind of shocked that it was awkward at all. Like, I would think, I think Zappy would be like, oh yeah, this is
sure. Yeah, welcome, Drake.
This is what I expected. Yeah.
Yeah, you want to? Should we go play lacrosse together? Bailey and Drake.
Oh man,
a lot of diversity in that quarterback room. How many golden retrievers per quarterback when your quarterbacks are Drake May and Bailey Zappi?
I don't know, man. I think Drake May gives me more hunting dog vibes.
That's bullish. Hunting, we want that. We want a quarterback who's willing to get our hands dirty. What is your above 30% list look like?
Oh yeah, that's a good question. Let me see.
Jalen Warren, Stone Cold Lock.
Stone Cold Lock. So I have four right now. Four players right now at 30% or higher. Do you wanna guess? You already guessed Jalen Warren, which is correct.
39%. I might not be as familiar with your game. You might surprise me. I mean, I'm gonna guess Fant.
No. There is a tight end, it's not Fant.
A tight end, but it's not Fant? Is it Mark Andrews?
Yeah. I'm at 30% Mark Andrews.
Okay. That is, I like that. I mean, it's hard for me because, you know, you have a limited number of picks and like, I have to take Xavier Worthy in the fifth round. So like, it's kind of hard, but if this hamstring injury continues, I'll be able to get six around Xavier Worthy.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Warren, Andrews, May.
May is at 28%.
Okay.
I have no receivers above 30%. I've got Rashee Rice at 28%, Xavier Worthy at 28%, Jalen Polk at 26%. Brian Thomas is at 28%.
It's the Brian Thomas. I don't have him quite there, but I've been taking a lot because he is the shit. I really need a fourth wide receiver, and I've got to convince myself that someone's got some upside here. And he's a good bailout when you don't have a quarterback yet, and you're like, okay, I can take Brown forever.
And I have a lot of Kirk. Kirk I have less of, but I'm drafting a lot of Christian Kirk, so I'm like, it's just easier to take Thomas when you already have Kirk too.
Yes. Yeah, that's okay. So who are the other running backs?
They're running, there's two running backs. Achan's one.
Achan? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got him 28%. I mean, it's just hard to get him. So I guess you're taking him over. Are you taking him over Waddle?
I take Waddle first more often now, but I will take him over Waddle sometimes. I kind of mix it up because I feel like Achan provides that single week upside that like you can't get later. Like he's more of a priority for me than Waddle. But at this point, I think you kind of want to be taking Waddle first because of the ADP.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. Also, I'm doing my first FFPC draft tonight, by the way. I mean, you would obviously expect this, but there are some very exploitable spots on the FFPC.
Yeah. Jerko's been telling me like, I need to get in the streets over there. Like it's pretty wild.
Yeah. I've got the 350 with like the hard, like Go Bills and Hubbard and John Daigle and all these guys. It's like, they're going to stream it and stuff. But Xavier Worthy's like 85th in the draft app.
Line. Wow. God. The last one is Rico Dowdle.
So I think that had Malik Davis never existed, I would be of the same wavelength where it's like, why don't I just take Rico Dowdle every time? But getting rug pulled to that degree where this guy I had 30% on DraftKings literally ended up not being on the team is hurt. That's hard. It's hard to come back from that.
But I mean, like, last year we didn't know that we didn't really know who the running back two was going to be at this time of the year. And we thought maybe it was Malik Davis, thought maybe it was Deuce Vaughn. And then, and you know, around training camp, preseason stuff, it was like, no, it's Dowdle. This rookie last year that that went over your head.
I was just gonna let you have that. When it turned out, this is what really happened, and I did not realize this, and I wish I would have before I took 30% Malik Davis. Dowdle was injured in 2022.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay.
Which is why Malik Davis was playing to begin with.
Okay. All right. I didn't know that. But like, it reminds me a little bit of Jerome Ford from last year, where like we were, you know, they were like, yeah, we like Jerome Ford. He's like our clear number two. And
it does that. You know what? That is very, it's very Fordy.
Yeah. And we're like, why? Like, he's not done any, like, who is this guy? We've never really seen him, you know, like. Ford was even more than Dowdle. Like we had a little bit of interest in him as a prospect, but then he disappeared for a year as the RB3 and he didn't really get any run. But they're like, no, we like this guy. We feel confident in him as the RB2. We're not going to be adding anyone really. And like, then they leaned on him when Chubb went down. And like, you know, he's not great, but he's fine.
No, he maxed out at like 18.6 dog points and a 2-touchdown game.
Yeah. But it's that same like weird confidence. It feels weird to us, but like if they feel confident, like I'm getting confidence vibes from the Cowboys that they're not like worried about the running back situation. And it's hard for me to believe it's because of Zeke, you know? So I'm like, and I am taking Zeke. I think Zeke's pretty well priced. Like
I think you can definitely take Zeke.
You can take Zeke. And then I'm taking Jonathan Brooks a lot right now. I'd be curious to see if he, you know, he's going to be in the high 20s for me once these slow drafts end. I'm taking a lot of them. But, like, you pair him with Zeke, that works out really well, I think. Like, okay, Zeke, like, be complete dust after 6 weeks, but just wait those 6 weeks and help get Brooks up to full production or whatever. But Dowdle, I mean, Dowdle's even cheaper. And, like, man, like, Cowboys running back feels like
yeah.
We talked about this with Chiefs RB2. What about Cowboys RB1? Where would Cowboys RB1 be going in drafts?
Third round, yeah.
So you just take cracks at Cowboys RB1.
It's a really interesting thought experiment. Like, what happens if the Cowboys draft is the same and Ezekiel Elliott signs with literally anyone else? You know, Zeke signs with the Buccaneers, like, or whatever. Like, what is the market doing with Deuce Vaughn, Rico Dowdle, and who's the third guy? There's another guy on the roster.
Do they have Royce Freeman or something?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, they do. They do have Royce Freeman, which is like, I mean, look, you may laugh. You may laugh. Definitely a non-zero chance Royce Freeman is ahead of Rico Dowdle. Like, it's totally, oh, like...
I can't deal with that, dude.
It's just like that. Like, Royce Freeman was getting carries for the Rams last year. He sucked, but like, you know, whatever. Teams do stuff like that.
I don't know. Royce Freeman, they showed the door immediately. Like, as soon as Kyron was healthy, they literally cut him. It was, I mean, and he wasn't bad. Like, he was actually, you know, decent enough. I thought he was better than Henderson last year. This is a good bit.
Who do we think has more guaranteed money, J.K. Dobbins or Royce Freeman? Let's find out right now.
All right. Well, I know J.K. Dobbins has $50,000 guaranteed, so it has to be Royce.
Not by much. $65,000 for Royce.
Oh my god.
Pretty nuts. I mean, it's actually insane that Royce Freeman as like a total special teamer, like not gonna make the 53 man roster, is making more money than the literal running back 50 in these drafts right now. People are doing drafts and just being like, yep, J.K. Dobbins, dude, he's good to go. It's fine.
J.K. Dobbins, like, they literally, like, that's moving expenses. They gave him, expenses.
It's not even a training. Like, Reed Sinnett is going to make more than that when his UFL season is over and some team signs him to be a camp arm. He's going to make more money than J.K. Dobbins.
J.K. Dobbins is trying out for the Chargers.
He's trying out. And maybe it'll work out. You know, maybe he will be healthy enough and he'll make it. But this is Adam Thielen showing up at the Minnesota State Mankato University and trying out for the Vikings. That did happen. That is literally how Adam Thielen ended up being an NFL wide receiver. But J.K. Dobbins is doing that.
Yeah, it's not as cool when you're a fifth-year running back coming off of massive injuries to the same leg over the last three seasons. That's a little harder to win to for the tryout to go well. I mean, I would look, if J.K. Dobbins makes the roster.
Sure.
Yes. I'm going to draft him. I think I'm going to draft him a lot.
I will reverse my tune so fucking quick. I'll be quick. Kamani who? I do not know that guy.
I'm already really nervous about Kamani Vidal. Like the so just in it, here's what it took. It took Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins aren't here today. We're seeing the following backs rep with the ones. And it was like Isaiah Spiller, Kamani Vidal, and like three dudes I'd never heard of.
No, dude. Like, okay, wait. God. Let's end it here. We're gonna break the news on this podcast. There actually is a legitimate prospect who's already this guy basically was Kamani Vidal before Kamani Vidal. His name is Elijah Dotson. He was like I remember looking into him last year because the Chargers had all those backfield injuries. He was like a super productive player, small school, Sacramento State and the Northern Colorado Bears. He was a kick and punt returner, right? Exactly what you want out of like a small school guy. You know, ran a 4.3 at 205 pounds. Like,
wow.
Not like I'm not saying Elijah Dotson's like, oh my God, he's such a sleeper. But like Kamani Vidal and Elijah Dotson are like kind of Spider-Man pointing meme a little bit.
So that's what made me nervous is because we always forget how much we forget, right? There's so many guys that you got a little excited about and then you immediately wipe them from your mind. Like, remember the Chiefs guy? Do you remember James? Was it? It was like,
I mean, yes, I get it. Was whatever James name something?
It's like James Williams or something. I can't, that's not his name, but it's like he was the guy. It was like the year after Darwin Thompson or something. And it was like
Darrell Williams.
No, it wasn't Darrell Williams. It was more, he was a UDFA. I don't think he ever even like made training camp. They like brought him in as a priority UDFA or something. And he was like super, super productive in college as a pass catcher.
Are you doing Denaric Prince from last year?
No. This was from like 2020, 2019, maybe. Like this guy was never anything. And I got there for like a day of like, oh, this guy's like the new pass catcher for the Chiefs. Anyway, I literally can't remember who he is now. But
DeAndre,
this is
not DeAndre Washington. Byron Pringle?
He was a receiver.
He was a receiver.
No, it was a. I know his name was James something. James 20... running back Chiefs. This is gonna be funny when I have to tell everyone why I was late to ship chasing.
I'm trying to go back in our lad's history for the Chiefs to see if I can find it.
Oh yeah, no, he won't be on a depth chart. He never made our lads.
if he never made our lads, it might be too deep of a cut.
Yeah, it's a pretty deep cut.
Okay, no, I'm gonna go archive June 2020.
Oh, I think he was James Williams. His name was James Williams. James Williams spent his entire 2018 junior season as the primary running back for Mike Leach's air raid offense. Yeah.
So God, I do remember this guy. Yes, yeah. I do remember. Oh my God, he went to Washington State. He caught like a billion passes.
Yes.
I 100% remember this guy. I drafted this guy. Come on.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But you don't, now you can't even access those memories. This is what we do to ourselves.
Yeah, that's Kamani Vidal. Yeah.
That's what, and it occurred to me as I was reading, it was like, oh my God, these are like all guys that like I've wiped from my brain. Like this is just future Vidal. Like in 3 years, we're going to be like, oh, like he's a Jordan Wilkins. Remember Jordan Wilkins? We're like,
I think he might still technically be in the NFL.
I think he's bouncing around in the league. Yeah, I think he's in the league. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's just a guy on a depth chart.
I don't think James Williams even made it.
No.
I don't think he even made it in spring league football.
No, he didn't.
you know who the best example of that is? This guy, you probably are not even deep enough in prospect streets to remember this guy. Remember Max Borgie?
Oh, that name does ring a bell.
He was supposed to be the next Christian McCaffrey. Really, he was basically just Dylan Lauby.
Remember Daniel Lasco?
Oh, Daniel Lasco could have. He was good. Come on, he would have been.
There's a lot of evidence that says he wasn't.
Max Borgie caught 86 passes as a sophomore, running back at Washington State. He could have made it. I don't know what happened to him, but he could have made it. He didn't make it, but it could have worked.
Could have worked.
All right, let's get you out of here to ship right. chasing. Everyone, make sure you're checking out legendaryupside.com, getting the ranks, getting the Jacquard tree simulations, and we'll be back soon.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.